listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 189 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and my slightly under the weather, not feeling too hot, pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm groovy, apart from my tooth.
Tell everyone your story then.
All right. One of my likes, I'm basically vegetarian, but I do like eating the odd bit of fish. And I was eating some crayfish the other day and managed to bite down a piece of shell, and I've cracked a tooth.
Ouch.
Which is a bit interesting. Very interesting, in fact.
Yeah.
But I'm at the dentist in the morning, so...
So it's been a week, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So is that just you couldn't get in, or...
Well, I was booked into the dentist anyway, so I thought I might... So I've just been taking painkillers and clove oil. I love clove oil. It works amazingly well.
For just tooth incidents?
Yeah.
Or mouth ulcers, actually. I get quite a lot of mouth ulcers.
Would it be good for that? I don't know. I've never used it for... When you travel... having some clove oil in your pack and some of that self-filling stuff.
Yeah.
It's useful just to have it, just in case, you know. But yeah, clove oil, wonderful stuff.
Cool, good tip early on. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website for any new listeners or anyone that may have forgotten, I don't know. Check it out for the show notes and links. There'll be a few from this episode. There'll be a blog post to accompany this online. If you listen to this, there'll be a blog post that Sean has written, if words are more your thing, or written words. and check out, when you're on the site, 123 Friday, there should be links to it all over the show on the various blog pages, or the podcast pages. Great little backing up app for your phone, backing up all your photos, videos, and contacts, should the worst happen, and you drop it off the edge of a cliff, or you chuck it in the fire, or chuck it in anger, perhaps. Check it out. Great little app. And every purchase of that just gives a little kickback for this show to help us keep us off the streets, eh?
Yeah. Help us survive.
So apart from biting down on some crayfish in the wrong way, anything else been going on in your life, Sean?
Life's okay, actually. I want to just do a quick shout-out to Riman from last week.
Yeah.
Because quite a few people have said to me how much they enjoyed listening to him and how it changed their perception of Islam.
Well, wow, and even one or two people changing perceptions, that's quite a big deal.
That's good.
I enjoyed it big time. As ever with the shows, there was things later on in the evening that I wish I'd asked and what have you. Maybe we can get him back on at some point. But
Yeah.
Shout out to him and thanks for coming on again. Good fun, eh?
It'd be interesting to have him on as Islam and Chris from Buddhism. Have some
I get my father-in-law from the other side as well. They're all top guys, so they'd all get on like else on fire. But it'd be interesting just to get all the similarities all in one
place. But that's the thing for me, is that when I was travelling and I go to communities where there'd be Jains, Buddhists, Christians, Jews, Muslims, all kind of people working together, it was the commonality that people enjoyed, not the difference.
Yep.
Yeah. Which was really good.
No, it's cool. Brilliant. I've had a good week too. I'm getting fit and healthy after the the Christmas excess. But I've got to say, other brands of smartwatch and digital tracking device are available. But it does make a big difference having something like this on your wrist that tracks where you're going and the steps all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because you have your daily little goals for... It's quite simple, really, the things it tracks. It wants you to do is burn a certain amount of energy, do a certain amount of exercise, half an hour per day, and stand up at some point throughout every hour of the day when you're awake. And it tracks your steps as well.
So how many steps have you done?
Well, today I've done 5,000, which you're supposed to do 10,000, but...
You've done 4,876.
Well, okay, I'm rounding up. Blimey. I've also done 2 outdoor cycles. 6 and 8 kilometres. I don't have much choice but cycle to work. I mean, I can go down and get the train and take a shortcut, I guess. But so it's a bit of an easy one for me now that I haven't got an option.
That's good though.
It's cool, man. And I do, because we do have this kind of little bit in our brain, don't we? Where we like to be challenged and there's something to be done. My mum's got a Fitbit. You've got a Fitbit.
I've got a Fitbit.
Father in law does, and yeah, they love to get their 10,000 a day in. It's like, got to do it.
Yeah, I've only done 5,000 today myself.
Okay. So, we go for a walk after this, eh?
I could do it.
To the shops. Tesco and back.
Yeah, go and get something for me too.
Yeah. So, yeah, all right. Right, we're talking about self-help this week, which wouldn't surprise people that much, because this is the self-help podcast. But I stumbled across an article just before Christmas, actually, which I've been saving to talk about. TheGuardian.com. What's the title of it? Self-help individual. What's the title? Oh, self-help works for us as individuals, but as a society, we're failing. That's the title of it.
Yeah.
So that kind of got me thinking as to kind of the merits of this show and what we kind of promote. And how is my basic question to you, Sean, to start it off is self-help selfish?
It depends how you define the word self. What's the self that you're helping?
Yeah.
If I'm doing the things that I do for me alone and sod everybody else, then it is an act of selfishness, which is negative. If the things that I'm doing are for a much bigger self, which could be my family, my community, could be my company, my organisation, you know, church, whatever it is that you're into,
yep.
Then the act isn't selfish, because I'm including lots of things and people in it. So my favourite example is Mother Teresa of Calcutta included all the poor of Calcutta in herself, and she treated them as herself.
Yeah.
So if she was being selfish, then she was being selfish for a massive group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I suppose that the ultimate place to be would be if I saw the whole of humanity as myself, then to act selfishly would be a very positive thing for everybody.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, the article is quite wide-ranging, and it talks about a few things. But first of all, we'll start talking about kind of the fads that people can go through in the self-help field. You know, things that we've probably promoted and talked about over the years on this show. Which, you know, these short-term fixes, which don't actually help you that much and help the planet and the environment even less.
My favourite bellyache at the moment is avocados.
Yeah.
Because everybody I know is eating avocados. Every restaurant you go to, you can get avocados with poached eggs on toast, all that kind of stuff. And avocados are lovely. They're great. They're being kind of pushed as the superfood at the moment. And it is a fad. And it will pass, and then we'll be on to some other kind of food. And avocados themselves, got nothing against an avocado, love them all. The problem is, it's the issue of lots of countries that are poorer are destroying their own ecosystems and forests, which are the lungs of the earth, to get rid of trees so that they can plant avocado trees to cash in on this Western desire for avocados.
Must have our avocados, yeah.
But the problem is, once the fad's passed, no one's going to reinstate the rainforests. They will just be wrecked and gone.
Well, they'll grow back.
Well.
Yeah. They can grow back. That's the good thing about trees.
In time.
Yeah, it'll take a while. And yeah, the damage could have been done for humanity, at least. The planet will be fine long term. It's whether you want...
It's whether there's any human beings on there.
Mm. Which is up for debate, whether we're needed or not, or better off without us. But I think we're needed. I think generally people are cool, aren't they, and we're learning all the time.
I think that generally the majority of people are cool. It's the extremists that have the power. Whether that is like the difference between ISIS and regular Islam as represented by Rahman, two completely different things.
Yep.
Or whether it is the need to create positive capitalism or the extremist model that you get in someone like Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, I mean, this will be out on Thursday, and the day after he'll be inaugurated as the 45th president of the United States of America. He might, yeah, he looks like he's going to make it. He's trying his best to kind of screw it all up and you can't be impeached until he's president or arrested.
I love the idea that someone can conduct their political leadership via Twitter.
It's fascinating, you know. I wake up each morning and once I've said hello to my family and got people ready and dressed and all that. My little boy's not why I don't. Yeah, I'm so dressed.
You don't dress you well.
Yeah, I then have a little look on Twitter. That's where I get my news, or quite a lot of it, and it just explodes with what he said that night before, or what's gone on, or what the latest revelations are. So it's going to be a fun 4 years. Well, yeah. There's very slim chance it's going to last that long, I would say. But
one of the...
But on selfishness, he's the epitome of a selfish, in the bad sense, person, in my view. I mean, a lot of people, you know, that voted for him say he's the antidote to, I don't know, the establishment, inverted commas, that has got us to where we are, which, in my view, isn't that bad. You know, there's a lot of room for improvement, but poverty globally has dropped big time. You know, racism is far less than it used to be, and equal rights and all that stuff. So, I don't know. But
I think that the processes that we go through require evolution, and we keep opting for revolution. Which is that in this country, it's always been swinging from right wing to left wing,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. And the new order comes in and destroys the old order, but then recreates the same thing but calls it something different. Yeah. You saw it with communism, where you had the czars were overthrown because they were the ultimate power, but then you have the Kremlin that takes over, which becomes the ultimate power.
Yeah,
you know, so there's no real kind of change. We just call it something different.
Yeah, and we talk about self-help as a bad thing, or potentially a bad thing, because it can retreat in on yourself. And we've seen that internationally, I guess, aren't we? In isolationism in America and in Britain with the whole Brexit lock.
It's back to this issue about what's included in self, isn't it? Well, one of the things that's become very clear with Brexit is that English, British, and I'm including Scots, Irish, and the Cornwallians, and you know the whole gang of us, we've had enough problems trying to include those different countries of Scotland, Ireland, Wales into one community, and to see it as us as Brits has been quite a tough stuff. But to see us as Europeans has been a step too far for most people that have lived in the United Kingdom, and the issue of us and them. We can only truly look after things that we see as us. Mm-hmm. And if we develop ourself, so we see them as ourself, as us, then we have a hope of developing something. I mean, one of the things that you said earlier on, when we were chatting about it, was that at least when we were in Europe, we had a chance to change it from within and develop it, which we don't have once we're out, because they're them, or we become them and they're us.
Yeah, and I guess you can look at Brexit as self-help on a national scale, because you know there were some good arguments on the Leave side in terms of take back control, and it was it was that really simple, clean statement, and it was just genius, really. But it's self-help on a national scale in a bad way, I think, because I'll try and link this to how it, as an individual, it can be bad as well, because we're trying to help ourselves as a nation by withdrawing from what many people see as a failed experiment, the EU. But that us leaving is going to accelerate that failure. And they're our biggest trading partner, and they're our neighbours. And if their house is burning, well, first of all, we won't have anyone to trade with, because it'll just all collapse. Whereas, you know, if we try to help them and reach out our arms and then just, like, dive in even further, you know, we could maybe it can be saved. And it's not over for them yet. We could just die on our own, which is a lot of people might say. And if you take that down to an individual level, you must deal with and speak with a lot of people who are ticking all the right boxes personally. They're meditating, they're kind of doing all their breathing exercises and all that, but they're lonely and they're not helping because they're not getting stuck into society.
You see all kinds of things like that. I mean, one of the things that is quite common in self-development situations, whether that's courses or therapy or whatever, is that when someone develops and they start to develop self-awareness, very often they're in a situation where they feel separate from other people anyway.
Yep.
Because they're now talking about things that are fundamentally different and feeling things that are fundamentally different. And other people are saying to them, oh, shut up, your problem is you think too much. That kind of thing. So people can feel isolated when they get into the self-development world. And it is true that, that when some people go through self-development, they realise that their relationships on whatever level don't work. They don't serve them well. So they end up changing those relationships. Now, whether that ultimately is a positive thing, because if you are leading somebody where you're giving them the option to be with someone who maybe is better for them, you know, I couldn't kind of comment on that really.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, to me, it comes down to the issue of what do we mean when we say self-development. If self-development is developing our society and our community, our family, then it's not an individual act. It's not selfishness.
Yeah.
In that sense.
Mm. Interesting, yeah. It's. I mean, yeah, for people you're helping on a weekly, however enough you see them, and they are ticking all the boxes self-help-wise, and they're reading all the books, they're doing all the courses and the meditation and all that lot, but they're still not there. What's the next step for them?
But I think that they're not doing what you're saying. I mean, they may be going through the motions.
Yep.
You know, you could go out and do a yoga program every morning and treat it like it's a keep fit class, and it'll be a keep fit class. It won't necessarily change how you feel or what you do. So the issue, one of the things that is always the case in the Quaker world, they'd say first of all you pray, then you move your feet. You know, first of all you consider your situation, then you do something about it. In mindfulness, I'd say, okay, first of all you meditate or whatever your practice is. Okay, now you go and get on with the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And if you're not making that connection between the kind of huga part of being in that wonderful place with yourself, and you're not taking that out to your community or to your family, then you are being cut off and being selfish. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah,
it's, that connection is so important. To take it away from the I, me, my, must have and sod you kind of feeling that we seem to be moving towards in this kind of separatist...
Well, yeah, there's a famous Maggie Thatcher quote, isn't there, about that there's no such thing as society.
Yeah.
Well, it's a philosophy, more than a quote, wasn't it, really? Which I never understood, actually. I mean, I was born in the 80s, but I haven't studied politics to that in depth. I did do politics A-level. But what did she mean by that, there's no such thing as society? What was her goal?
I think what she was trying to say at the time was that... society is made of individuals, and if those individuals don't function, then you can't create anything. Yeah, I think that in a sense I go with that, but it was seen and was taken very much in that philosophy as the individual is more important than the whole, which is where you've got the whole kind of yuppie, which was the I, me, my, must have now kind of attitudes.
Yeah,
and one of my things, especially in the organisations I work in, both the private and the public sector, is that those people that were brought up with that philosophy have now fed through as adults, as parents, into management and all kinds of places where they now have the power, but they don't have that sense of community. So it's very easy to see people in an organisation no longer as individuals, but we see them as grades and functions.
Yep.
Rather than as people. So whereas an organisation used to be a community, now it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's when we start to lose that sense of cohesion between.
Yeah, and to be fair to old Cameron, he had the idea of the big society, didn't he? Kind of flipping things right on the head, which, again, I didn't study that closely, but and on paper I remember thinking that's quite a good idea, but he was kind of left out of the place a little bit, wasn't he, with the idea. And I think he wanted people to get involved volunteering and get stuck in with local charities and stuff, which is pretty decent idea in my mind.
Well, I think one of the problems,
it was linked with cost cutting, wasn't it? I think that was where it fell down. People were like, oh, he just wants stuff on the cheap, he wants people not to be paid for work and all that.
But one of the problems is that people in the Cameron bracket of society don't necessarily need what the rest of people need. So the person that's on a trolley waiting to be seen in a hospital is in a very different position to someone who has more resources and is able to go straight into a private hospital and be seen just like that, or be operated on just like that, yeah, rather than having to wait. And in a sense, I mean, one of the things I love, one of the things Rahman was saying was that if you're a true Muslim, in his sense, he was saying you can't go to bed with a full belly knowing that the people in the house next door are starving.
Right.
You know, you have to share your resources.
Yeah.
And we don't do that. We don't have that sense of community. We don't have the sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Else there wouldn't be people on the road. So I always come back to my, if we just looked after each other, we'd all be okay, which is the reality for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's when we talk about us and not me, and when we talk about we and not them,
yep,
that we're starting to get that cohesion going.
It's quite a cool paragraph that I will just read from the article, which had, yeah, me chuckling. So yeah, let's go for it. Togetherness and social cohesiveness is also an underlying theme of Hygge. How do you say it?
Hygge,
which we talked about a few episodes ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Although you wouldn't know it from the saccharine British magazine interpretations, generally involving images of a lone woman blissfully drinking hot chocolate in cashmere socks. And as an exasperated Danish friend of mine pointed out, the whole point of Hygge is that you're not meant to get on with it on your own. It's about togetherness, friendship, and quite often communal singing, so not expensively accessorized me time. And as such, it's hard to disentangle from communitarian Scandinavian attitudes more generally. But yeah, I thought it was brilliant because I know people, pals and pals of pals, that on Facebook are putting on their pictures of their perfectly presented front rooms with every little ornament on the shelf perfectly. Hashtag Hygge, was it?
Yeah.
Hygge.
Hygge.
And I'm knowing what I know about the episode we recorded. It's just like, what?
It's just a room.
Yeah.
The Hygge would be if the room was full of people smiling and having a good time, that'd be the Hygge.
Yeah.
One of the things that really made me laugh when over Christmas, when we went for a walk in the woods, and Jacob, your little guy, was there, and he was saying, he was got really cold, didn't he? And he was got a bit of tearful, and he was saying, I want to be cosy, I want to be cosy.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a fabulous kind of Hygge statement.
He wanted to get cosy.
He wanted to, and that's Hygge. He wanted to feel warm and safe and cuddled, and you know, that's Hygge.
That's Hygge, man. He knows it already, don't he?
Yeah. I want to be cosy. Wow, amazing.
Yeah, it's not about just sitting in a room with a fire on by yourself with the your cashmere socks on. It can be, man. Maybe if you're in the right place, man. But the
thing is that we live in worlds in our selfishness where we have lots of people that are alone. We've talked about the idea at Christmas, didn't we, about who's around you that needs checking out, looking after, maybe taking a meal, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
That's Hygge. It's looking after, creating that sense of community and safety and warmth and belonging, you know. And yet we separate out between ourselves and those people that are escaping Syria or wherever they're coming from.
Yep.
And we can leave them in the camps, in the rain, in the wet, that's okay.
Yep.
Because we're not identifying them as us.
I know, and you think everyone's all of a sudden an expert in trade deals, aren't they, and stuff like that. But also, Trump's been taking credit for bringing jobs back to the US, and he's, you know, he's instructed and commanded. I think it was Ford that they'd part built and cleared this area in Mexico to build a car factory that was going to churn out cars using Mexican labour. And Trump has obviously had a word. And he's cancelled it, and the Ford have agreed to bring it back to the States, whether they're scared or, you know, he was talking about whacking on import fees and all that stuff. But I was thinking, you know, from my point of view, there'll be thousands and thousands of people in Mexico that will have been probably moved close to this development already or getting excited about it.
Yeah.
How can you pull the rug from those people's feet? And I mean, yeah, I know you've got your own citizens to worry about, but they're your neighbours as well, Mexico.
But the thing that you're describing about, you know, our citizens and their citizens, we're starting to lose the us, and we're now getting into us and them.
Yeah.
They're not all us.
And, you know, I follow a few historians on Twitter, and, you know, both in the lead-up to the referendum in the UK and Trump, in fact, all historians signed some kind of a communal letter before the EU referendum, you know, urging people not to vote for it, and same for Trump, because, you know, historians have studied this thing and they know where it takes us, this kind of these ideas, don't they? I can't believe people didn't listen to them, but hey, here we are.
We're in an odd time in our social cycle, you know, what happens next we don't know. But it will be an interesting time for all of us. And predominantly, one of the things that you were saying is that people under 35 voted to remain in Brexit and the older people voted to get out. And yet the people that voted to get out, the one, are not the people that will have to live the results, because it will be the younger people and the younger people's children that have to live the results of what's been decided.
More so, But you wonder why philosophically each side voted that certain way, because, I mean, I know, speaking to one of my elderly neighbours living nearby, and a few days before I asked her how she was going to vote or what she was thinking, and she said, oh, she was going to vote to leave because she didn't trust the Germans. So I kind of chuckled, because it's like a typical old person. It's like, I'm not sure, I'm sure not.
I think that you're right. I can remember my own father getting really angry with German products coming into the country. I mean, he'd fought in the Second World War.
Yeah, I know a lot of bad stuff went down there, and I wasn't on the front lines or anything.
And people getting really angry with Japanese products.
But it's like, do you want that to happen again? Because it's more likely, if you vote Leave, that will happen. It's still unlikely. I'm sure we'll also be pals, you know, 20 years down the line. But it's more likely still, isn't it? So why would you vote that? If you that, there's more chance of it happening.
But when the whole Brexit thing was happening, and you and I were talking about it then, for me, things that bring people together make sense. Things that take people apart don't make sense. And that I accept the fact that the European community wasn't working as it could have done, but to me, improving what we have, which is evolution, as opposed to changing it all, which is revolution, doesn't really work.
Yeah.
And my biggest fear, as I've said before on here, is that in this selfishness that we're developing and the kind of xenophobic us and them, is we're moving back towards fascism, which is where all the problems started in the first place, the European problems, isn't it? And I, for me, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But yeah, let's see where it takes us, eh? Let's see where it takes us. Anything else we need to say? I've got Join a Choir on my list. I think that's actually a tip from the article.
What they were talking about was things that you can do that you do together that benefit lots of people.
Yeah.
Because if you join a choir, you've got the self-development of you as a self, you've got the self-development of the choir as a self, and then you've got the self-development of the people that listen to the choir. So it starts to affect bigger and bigger areas, which is good.
For sure.
And anything like that is good. But it comes back to an individual level. Are you, dear listener, someone who does things selfishly for yourself, or do you include other people in your model of self? You know, who are you looking out for, looking after, checking out, supporting? Yeah, because if we all do it, then we're all okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Share this podcast with a friend, do your bit. Don't just keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
That's one of the things about the show as well, and to be fair, I'm guilty of it, because I don't talk in my personal life when I'm out about the fact that I do this programme. Like, my pals know that I do it, and some of them listen to it and actually like it, enjoy it. But it's not something I shout from the rooftops that I'm into self-help stuff, you know. And I'm going on a stag do on Saturday, just to the races in Liverpool. But it's like, yeah, I'm not going to be screaming and shouting about self-development when I'm with 20 lads.
No.
But I'll do it in other ways, you know. Yeah. I'll spread the love in other ways, I guess.
I started another mindfulness course tonight in the hospital, so there's about 30 people on it. On the resource sheet, one of the resources is, come and listen to the podcast.
Spread the word, guys. Yeah. Or there are plenty of other cool self-development shows out there, you know. Okay, all done.
Yeah, I'm good.
Got a resource in a week.
Yeah, my resource.
You think of one quickly, because it's not written down.
No, I've got it here. It's the Mitch album. book.
Stick.
Which is called Five People That You Meet in Heaven. And it's a story about a guy that dies and the people that he meets. But there's some amazing quotes in it. And one of the quotes that he comes up with, which are one of the characters, which I really like, is that strangers are family you have yet to get to know.
Yep.
And I like that. It's the family of humanity. And just because there are strangers in it doesn't mean to say they're not your family. You just don't know them yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever colour, shape, size they are.
Cool. All right, you know, go along with that. I had a cool experience at the weekend, partly because we had the kid didn't have the kids for a night and we got a proper lie-in, but went out with the missus and watched La La Land at the cinema.
Yeah.
Which, it's kind of Oscar season coming up, so there's some good films coming out. La La Land is amazing. It just blew me away. Like, really, in a feel-good sense, so... It was just bliss, really. Happiness. I mean, it was a love story, so, you know, it was the ups and downs of... what being love can bring.
Yeah.
But just taught you, I don't know, it's just a brilliant message. And the fact that you can enjoy the downs as well, you know, when when stuff's not going right in your love life, when you're kind of in your earlier years, and you get that kind of pain right in your chest because you're that upset about not seeing a person or whatever. But it's kind of enjoyable in some way.
But you said that you don't like musicals.
Well, I mean, I watched Les Mis, you know, I don't go to the theatre that often, but I enjoy Les Mis. I do like Mamma Mia, actually, that movie is called.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed
it. And it wasn't singing all the way through, there was some normal dialogue. Music was fantastic. It was probably throwback to all the old 40s, 50s, MGM, big grand productions cinema.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. It showed America, actually, in a beautiful light. I know it's California, so that's super liberal, open... everything, like a mix of all sorts of different people, but
yeah
check it out, La La Land. I mean, it doesn't need much advertising from us because it's had millions of pounds spent on it, but
yeah
I think it's a real powerful feel good movie.
But what that means is, by sharing that with the listening community, you're not being selfish.
Yeah, exactly.
you're giving it to the whole of our community, our listening community, which is ourselves.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's anyone out there in Hollywood that wants to get us over there, you know, for any kind of...
We'll be part of their self, too.
Yeah. All right. Livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look. Check out all the show notes, links. All previous episodes are on there as well that you can scroll back through and enjoy. I think there is a search button on there. So basically, if you put any kind of issue into that search box, we will have covered it at some point, either in a blog post or in a... podcast episodes, quite a database, quite a library of stuff on there, really, isn't there?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, one day I should turn it all into a book.
One of these days, this time next year, Rodney.
We'll be millionaires.
Right, and 123 Friday, check out the link there, because if you're not backing up your photos and your videos anywhere, you're being a bit daft, really, because memories are important, right?
They're all going to go.
Yeah, so check it out, and we would be very grateful. What we're talking about next week? Shame, is it? I think you said shame.
Shame. It could be shame.
Could be shame, unless we think of something else.
Yeah.
That'd be a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check us out next week, and until then, take care. See you, Sean.
You'd be happy.
Good luck with your tooth.
Thank you.
See ya.
See ya.